This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah Azza wa Jalla and testifying to His unique oneness and to the finality of prophethood being in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and after reminding myself anew the taqwa of Allah and welcoming my brothers and sisters to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, any one of you, and I'm sure there are many, who has gone through a sudden near-death experience, we often say, that it's hard to describe the feeling you have in the moments you realize you're still alive. Like, I actually dodged the bullet. My life actually flashed before my eyes and I'm still here. The exhilaration that comes with that, the relief, the clarity, the gratitude. I'll never forget my very first car crash was a horrific one. Car flipped on the highway and spun out and I had to climb out of the back windshield. You almost can't believe it. Like, I actually made it. I actually survived. There was actually, by Allah's grace, no scratch. But you can't actually put into words the experience, how ecstatic you are. And the reason I'm mentioning this is that, you know, the past few days, I've been reflecting on a theme that you find in the Quran and in the Sunnah about the hereafter. That of the perfect completeness of the pleasure, the delight, the felicity and joy you find in Jannah, in paradise, is the fact that you just missed the fire. And there actually was a seat in the fire, literally, with your name on it. And that you didn't land in that seat. You see, we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when the people of paradise go to paradise, and the people of the fire go to the fire, there's going to be empty seats remaining in heaven and hell. Because there is a seat for each of us in both places. And so when the people of Jannah go to Jannah, there happens a redistribution of the property. And you inherit the seats that weren't filled. And likewise in the fire, there's going to be a redistribution of the estate, of the territories, because of the seats that were not filled. And so this, just as it will increase the people of the fire in anguish, it will also compound the exhilaration for the people of paradise. Not just that I have a bigger estate, but that was my spot. And I don't have to go there. And this is captured best or most elaborately in the Quran, at least in Surah As-Saffat. You know, and you have to hear the ayah from a few ayat prior, because the context is very telling. It's an elaborate description of the completeness of the experience. Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about the torment. Then He says, "Illa ibadallahi al-mukhlasin." And exempt from this are the most devoted servants of God. "Ulaika lahum rizqun ma'lum." For them will be a very well known, no secret about it, an exclusive provision. They're going to be provided with something exceptional. And then he goes on to list some of it. And he says, فواكه. It's going to involve fruits. Fruits like you've never imagined. وَهُمْ مُكْرَمُونَ. And they will all be honored and distinguished and prestiged therein. This is one of the things they will have, Allah Azza wa Jalla says. Fi jannatin na'im, and they will be enjoying meadows and gardens of pure delight. Ala sururin mutaqabilin, and they will be sitting in these gardens on cushions. No labor, everyone's reclining. Surur, and then he says mutaqabilin, and they will all be facing each other. Like, not just are you relaxed physically, but even emotionally, you will not see the back of anybody's head. No one's going to walk away from you. There's going to be no disputes. There's going to be no more separations. You're not even going to have uncertainty. Is that so and so? You're always facing each other in a way that will only be pleasurable. Allah Azza wa Jal describes. عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Then he says, يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِكَأْسٍ مِّن مَعِينَ. And then there will be distributed. You get served. You don't get up. Distributed among them are كَأْس, wine glasses. A كَأْس is a container for drink, and especially for nectar and wine. distributed among them are ku'us, ka's, made out of ma'in. Ma'in is a running stream, an endless flow. The streams erupt where you want them to for refills. From a flowing stream. Bayda'a ladhatin lisharibin. Bayda' in the Arabic language means something radiant or glowing. So the drink that you're drinking that comes out of these streams will be glowing. Will be like a starlit sky. And delicious to all those who drink it, he said. Meaning there's no debate on, oh, I don't like this one. Can I get another one? It's delicious to every last one who consumes it. Bayda'a ladhatin lisharibin. And then he says, لَا فِيهَا غَوْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ عَنْهَا يُنْزَفُونَ. It involves no harm. Notice, he's covering every quality. He's disqualifying every defect. This drink, what else is its description? It involves no harm. It will not harm your head. You won't get disoriented, intoxicated, go bump your head or like fall over, and none of that. It will be, if we can use this phrase, a harmless high. A harmless euphoria. La ghawlun fiha, it has no harm. It will not harm your head. Nor will it harm your body. It will not, you know, poison your organs like alcohol does. It will not cause you the nausea that comes with the hangover after you're done drinking. None of it. No harm in it. Wala hum anha yunzafoon, nor will it ever be interrupted. There's no like seasons and sales and discounts and access and no gatekeeping. No limitations, no interruptions. وَلَا هُمْ عَنْهَا يُنْزَفُونَ. Then he says, وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِعِينَ. And they will have, and this is in particular to the men, because they conquered their greatest desire, which is the desire for women. For them, he says, is قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِعِينَ. عِين are wide-eyed brides. And this is of what appeals to a man, almost a universal appeal. Wide-eyed, but he says they're qasiratu tarf, women whose eyes are not just beautiful but downcast. And that's every man's dream, for his wife to not look at any man in the universe but him. Wives with wide eyes that are downcast, with their gazes lowered, ka'annahunna baydun maknun, as if they are guarded pearls. You know, women wear pearls to beautify themselves. The women in Jannah, the believing women and the wives, they will be the pearls. They will not need pearls, though they will have all the jewelry they desire, but they are going to be like this prized jewel that here in this world we go to the bottom of the ocean to find, that perfect pearl within the shells. And then Allah goes on to say, after all of that, here's the part about the seat I could have had, the friends I could have sent me elsewhere. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ. And that's the context now, in the context of covering all of the bases of bliss. Of the bliss is, one of them walks up to another. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. And he asked them a question. He says, قَالَ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينَ. I used to have a friend. Somebody's not here. I used to have a friend, someone I knew. Friend, colleague, associate, whatever. Spouse, may Allah forbid. But I used to have a friend. يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. And he used to say to me, you are actually of those who believe? You actually believe in God? You actually believe in religion? You believe in a hereafter? أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ. The verses continue to report to us the badgering he will recall. He used to tell me, you claim that after we die and decompose and become dust, God's going to put us back together again and interrogate us? Are you crazy? You actually believe God, someone's going to do that to us? قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ. Then this man in paradise says to the people he's speaking to in paradise, won't you look? Look where? Look into the hellfire. It will actually be a dimension of the pleasure. They will see it in a way that will cause them no harm, because now they're in Jannah. So, فَطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. And so he will look, and of course they will look too, because everybody's agreeable in Jannah. But he will look, and he will see his friend. In the midst, the ayah says, فِي سَوَاءِ, dead center of the fire. Meaning surrounded by torment from every angle. May Allah protect us and you. And then what does he say? The exhilaration of realizing you escaped, right? What I began the khutbah with. He will say, قَالَ تَاللَّهِ إِن كِدْتَ لَتُرْدِينَ. He will say, by Allah, you almost dragged me down with you. I almost believed you. I almost doubted. I almost gave in to the pressure, the harassment, the jokes, the rolling of the eyes. I almost gave in. I almost buckled. You almost, turdeen means pulled me down. وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ. And were it not for the favor of my Lord, it wasn't my wit. It wasn't just like a strike of random luck or fortune. Were it not for the favor of my Lord, I would have been of those present, meaning in there with you. And then he says to himself, listen to this passage. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ. Are we really not going to die in Jannah now? He almost can't believe it. Is it really over? Is the fight finally over? Are we really not going to die? إِلَّا مَوْتَتَنَا الْأُولَى وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. Aside from our first death, the one we already died, and we're actually never going to get tormented again. No torment in the fire or even emotionally. There's no more torment. There's no more ill. And then he concludes by saying, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is certainly the greatest success. لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ. And let for this every worker work. This is what deserves energy. This is what deserves focus and attention. To lock that image in, because there are other images. Yeah, and you can reflect on the flip side, even if the ayat don't spell it out. Imagine someone, as some have called it, the most tragic story imaginable. Imagine someone in the hellfire who notices empty seats. And he says, where are my friends? And they say to him, after you died, they repented. They became better people. You're here alone. Imagine that. May Allah forbid. You know, our deen doesn't let us wait for sort of modern studies and empirical data about social conditioning and we're all products of our environment. It told you, listen, don't lie to yourself. You and everyone knows, deep down inside, you approve of those you hang out with. You approve of it. And if you approve of it, that means you will not be very far from mimicking it, replicating it in yourself. Or else why do you tolerate being there unless, exceptional case, you had to be there? But if you get complacent with this, you will not be able to resist the impact it will have on you. Even the Arab, even before Islam, before the Quran and Sunnah, even this was common knowledge. Any honest person, they used to say the Arab, as-sahibu sahib. Your sahib, whoever you keep close, your companion, is your sahib, will pull you down. It is involuntary, it is unconscious, it cannot be resisted. And they used to even say, don't tell me who you are. Tell me who your friends are, I'll tell you who you are. And better than that, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, المرء على دين خليله. The human being will always be on the same religious levels, commitments, trajectory, of their closest circle. Khalil is the closest sahib, right? Whoever you keep closest, you will follow their religious path. You know, this is so true when they say, like, you will be the sum of the five closest people to you. Guaranteed. Or, you know, so many people are critical of certain behaviors, conducts that their parents have, qualities. You just wait. The things you detest even, not just those you like, meaning it's unconscious, that'll be you soon enough. So much of that will be you soon enough. And think of also life partners, the choice of marriage. This is a choice of your future. There'll be nothing after Islam that boosts you up or drags you down like the person you choose to lock yourself behind four walls with. You know, youth many a times, with good intentions, and I do understand the struggle, and I do try to help out wherever I can, but they just, they're superficial about the way they think about it, in very dangerous ways. Technically, I can marry her, right? Yeah, technically you can marry her. And technically you can get hit by lightning, and still survive. It's not something you should bank on. Even if she were to agree, even if she were Muslim, and to promise you that the kids are fine, yeah, we're going to make sure they're Muslim. If she's not practicing Islam, and you're obligated Islamically to be the spender, then who's going to teach them Islam exactly? Right? Forget the kids. You yourself. You yourself. Who's going to wake you up for Fajr? If you don't wake up for Fajr on your own, and your spouse doesn't wake up for Fajr on her own, which one is going to wake the other up? And that's it. That would be the end of it. There are people that have come so far in their deen, mashallah, because they insisted on choosing someone that's just a little bit better than them in the commitment, to help them up. There has to be some sort of compatibility, but a little better. They looked upwards when it came to deen. There are so many brothers who chose to come to the masjid. You see, you don't think it's a big deal, but when you and him have the same reference point, your brother from the masjid, let's meet at Isha, that's a decision about a lifestyle. That affects your whole course of your living. We're going to meet at Isha means we're going to meet other people who also pray Isha, which means our friends might know each other and choose spouses from each other, and there's probably going to be a good deed to be learned here, or a charity to collaborate on, or we're going to pray for each other, we're going to memorize Quran. It changes everything. And likewise, if you surround yourself with people to tell you, yes, the girl across the classroom or the guy, I think they're a good match for you, that will affect the course of your life. So far, I have very good friends in my life who went through very difficult times. Despite being more committed to the deen than me, as soon as they got blindsided by the culture of their work, there was a blur between I have to be here, it's my job, and what happens before and after hours. And everything that you're imagining, they fell into. So many people allowed their guard to be down with colleagues that would badger them about the truth of Islam. And they dismissed it one time, and two times, and 10 times, and 20 times, till finally it happens, right? They're like, no, that one can't be. I gotta go check that one out. And so the wedge, the chink in the armor happened. And then it becomes a very different path later on. You cannot choose whether or not your friends impact you. You can only choose who your friends are going to be. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. And of course, Allah Azza wa Jal made it very clear that those who are not careful with who they pick as friends will be those that have unimaginable regrets. In Surah Al-Furqan, he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. The day that the wrongdoer, you know when you're upset, remorseful, you bite onto your finger or your nail. Allah Azza wa Jal, in the exaggerative tense, it is a figure, a convention of rhetoric to explain to you just how severe, he says the person will be biting onto their entire hand. Like a superlative expression. Biting his own hand, his whole hand, saying, I wish I followed Allah and His Messenger. I wish I had not taken so-and-so as my friend. Those are their two top regrets. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said to you that the good friend from the bad friend, the good associate, companion, colleague, whatever it's going to be, from the bad one, is like the perfume seller and the blacksmith. They will impact you. He said the perfume seller will either sell you something, or they're going to gift you something, or at least you're going to enjoy just inhaling the fragrance. Some good is going to come out of it. No way around it. And the blacksmith as well, for the bad friend, they're either going to burn your clothes, or they're going to burn you, or you're just going to experience a horrible congestion from the smoke in that area. So that is how it's going to be. So collect, like treasures, those who you keep close. Those that will protect you from destroying yourself, and help you build out yourself, and pray for you in your absence, and attend for you your janazah, and send those beautiful messages we always see around about starting an ongoing charity for you after you're gone, build out for your akhirah, and intercede for you on the day of judgment, insha'Allah ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the best companions in this life and the next. Make us of those that are exhilarated for discovering we escaped our seats in the fire on the last day. Allahumma ameen. May we and all of our loved ones be of those whose felicity and joy is compounded many times over when we meet Allah Azza wa Jal.
Make it a blessed and beautiful reunion with unending bliss and relief.